Hey, everybody. This week on Flirty Up Films, we're talking about the SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
I'm ready. Ocean Man, take me by the hand, lead me to the land that you understand. Ocean Man, the voyage to the corner of the globe is a real trip. Ocean Man, the crust of the tan man, by the sand, soaking up the thirst of the land. Ocean Man.
Hey, everybody. I'm Michael Flaherty.
And I'm Colleen Flaherty. This is Flaherty's on Films, a little podcast where we talk about the seminal cinema experiences of our time. Michael, what are we talking about this week? And what is it about?
It's not Citizen Kane. It's not The Godfather. It's not a third example. This is the SpongeBob SquarePants movie from 2004. What is that? No one knows who that is. I'll explain it. Here's the description from IMDb. SpongeBob SquarePants takes leave. I like that expression. That's not a joke. I just like that. SpongeBob SquarePants takes leave from the town of Bikini Bottom in order to track down King Neptune's stolen crown.
Before we even get to our first and favorite segment.
Yeah.
Did everyone know that the Bob and Pants were capitalized? I didn't. Learning a lot of new things.
Yeah, Michael. I did know that because you told us for the recording.
Michael, have you seen this film before?
I saw it in theaters. And then I liked it a lot. So then I saw it multiple times after that.
I think I took you to this film. I think I was a junior in high school. So you would not have been able to drive. Does that sound familiar?
I think Dad was there as well.
What a fun time for him.
Mm-hmm.
And
he likes SpongeBob. I've seen episodes of this show. Was it the first three seasons specifically? I've seen the show as an adult. And I like it. He likes it too.
I think our dad likes it, but then he says some questionable things about it.
I mean, that's kind of his go-to, right? Saying questionable things.
Like, what drug-induced nonsense is this? Then some weird anti-gay
thing.
No,
he likes the humor.
Oh, yeah. Makes him laugh, but then he says some things that are a bit off-putting and things boomers say about weird stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like, where's my boomerang?
Why did that make me laugh?
It's just a classic expression they have.
Anyway,
have you seen this film before? Yes, because we talked about it for like an hour. Have you seen it any other time? Do you remember anything from that viewing experience?
I didn't remember anything about it. So it was such a joy watching it because like I didn't remember anything about the plot. I didn't even remember the David Hasselhoff cameo. Like that's how little I remembered it, which is quite memorable.
I remember like 2 minutes into the 15 minutes into the movie, you're like, where is this going to go? What's the plot? And like 15 minutes to the end of the movie, you're like, I still have no idea what the plot of this movie is.
That's not really important, I think. And actually, you know, there's a pretty like solid central
plot. It's a standard.
We need a thing to solve a problem, so let's go get the thing.
And they get the thing.
I mean, it's pretty straightforward. I was maybe being a little snarky about that, so I'm sorry.
Well, it's a little bit mysterious. Like, I mean, the movie's almost over, but how are they going to get back? There's a lot of questions.
You know who has some answers? Our first and favorite segment, Bam.
Time for Sam. I am sad I didn't get to do my segue, which is let's take leave to our first segment. Bam, time for Sam. Whichever. You viewers at home, you decide which one was better.
Or even listeners at home.
Yeah. I mean, if you're watching your stereo, that's kind of a viewer.
Sam, take it away and tell us some very cool facts about the SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
So SpongeBob was actually created by Steven Hillenburg, who was a former marine science teacher. And he wanted to do a cartoon about sea creatures and, quote, I really wanted to do something about one character based on an innocent who is surrounded by more cynical beings, a sort of awkward, nerdy, goofball oddball. He was thinking about marine, which obviously comes with fish and whatnot, but fish he thought were too ordinary. So he started thinking about sponges. And he said, I drew these natural sponges for a while and gave them googly eyes, and it didn't come together until I drew a sink sponge one day. And I thought, this is the guy. He's the square peg, literally, in this world of animals.
I am very surprised at this fact, because I don't know if SpongeBob is a genuine reflection of somebody who is into marine science.
They do talk about that in a couple of the interviews I read where he's like, yeah, they go to the beach. Yeah, they can breathe above water. Yeah, they cry. They can have fire. Yeah, the way they put it, like, there's just certain things that you don't talk about. Like, those are just one of the, you know.
Right, sure.
So originally when the show was being created, it was called Sponge Boy Ahoy.
Oh, that's a great title.
However, Sponge Boy is a copyrighted name for a mop, so they couldn't keep it. But Hillenburg was really insistent on having the word sponge in the name of the protagonist because he was worried that children otherwise might think he was cheese. So SpongeBob SquarePants premiered in 1999, and basically it was a hit right away, and Nickelodeon, seeing what they had, was like, yes, let's take this hit and make a movie, because that's what you do. And Hillenburg kind of kept refusing to do it because he had seen other like movies that are cartoon movies, and he thought it would be kind of challenging to do it because SpongeBob really plays well in these like small stories, but long term, like, he didn't really see what, you know, a 95-minute story would be. So he put it off, and finally after the third season he was like, okay, I'll write a story. And they kind of structured it after a mythical hero's journey. So originally there was a lot of jokes that the first draft that they were coming up was kind of a Finding Nemo ripoff where Patrick gets stolen and SpongeBob has to go save him. Hmm. But yeah. So they wrote the screenplay.
And it's underwater.
Yeah. They wrote the screenplay and immediately included David Hasselhoff in the
immediately.
Screenplay.
First thing. Let's see if David's free.
They didn't even ask him. They just wrote it. And then, like, Hillenburg would be like, hey, have we asked David Hasselhoff yet? And they're like, no. And he's like, okay. Hey, have we asked him yet? Apparently, it only took asking him once. His kids, like, he has two daughters that were like, yeah, that's the greatest show ever. You need to be in it. And he was like, okay, done. I'm in it. Wow. Also, Alec Baldwin joined because his kids love the show. Mm-hmm. He did all of his recordings over the phone for his part.
Okay. It sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
If anyone was wondering, because David Hasselhoff was kind of like, I feel like he was a big name in the mid-aughts as like a kind of ironic, funny, cheesy star. But this predates his cheeseburger drunk video.
Yes.
I don't even know what that is.
Don't watch it. Okay. It's just sad.
No, it was just this big video of him like being so drunk he could barely, he kept trying to eat a cheeseburger off the bathroom floor.
Huh. That's interesting.
But you know what's a fun drunk video to watch is Kiefer Sutherland attacking a Christmas tree.
Oh yeah, that is a good one.
You're a pirate. That explains everything.
It's my favorite. Sorry. Not that I have a whole list of celebrity drunk videos I like, but if I had, that would be number one. Okay. So the animators actually worked to create this semi-digitally. So like it was all hand-drawn and then composited into layers using Photoshop. So this would be the last traditionally animated film from Paramount Pictures and Nickelodeon until SpongeBob movie Sponge Out of Water 2015.
Okay.
Cool. Hillenburg apparently loved making the film because the schedule was a lot more freeing, not having the TV show time. They started making this film after the third season of SpongeBob. So basically, like, it was just kind of one of those, like, they just replaced it. Like, we would be making a TV show, now we're just all making this movie instead. He also really liked that they continued to do the hand-drawn animations, which was kind of like we're talking about moving out as a fad. But he did say that he thought in general that the drawings were more superior than they were when they were doing the TV show.
Sure.
And he also said about it, there's a lot of talk about 2D being dead, and I hope people don't think that. Even Brad Bird is a proponent of 2D. He would agree with me that it's all about what you're trying to say. And there's many ways to tell a story, and what's unique about animation is that there's many styles of which to tell a story.
Brad Bird, the director of Incredibles, that came out 2 years before this movie?
It came out the same year as this movie, actually. Oh.
Michael, you sounded so confident.
Yeah, Sam, you gotta not know things.
Sorry.
You really just made him look like an asshole,
Sam. Sam, Jesus.
You know, Michael, will you forgive me by telling my next fact, which is about David Hasselhoff?
Well, the only thing that I know, so David Hasselhoff is not a voice of an animated character in this movie. There is, in fact, a live action segment to the movie where SpongeBob and Patrick, even though they're drawn, they like exist in land Roger Rabbit style, and they are saved. This is a big spoiler. Sorry. They're saved by a live act, the real David Hasselhoff running like he was the show. What's the show called?
Baywatch.
Baywatch. Like, he's just running on the beach, and then he ends up swimming them to Bikini Bottom. They're like, odd. They ride the Hasselhoff, as they say in this movie.
But he's not swimming so much as, like, at some point he just is a motorboat.
Because at some point they transition from him swimming, footage of him swimming, to they actually built a 12-foot David Hasselhoff, and because they had to do so many shots, because there's a fight scene on the Hasselhoff, there's that they had to like just build. So there's like, he basically looks like a motorboat swimming along the water,
which is very creepy when you know that fact and watch it, because it is a very detailed replica.
There's
of
a YouTube video.
To the point that you would be surprised to know that's not a person.
There's a video of David Hasselhoff like touching his hair, touching the bottom. It's like, this is sheep's fur. Hold on. I have two more funny facts though about this. Number one, in this era, in 2006, they would, whenever like a kid's movie would come out, they would make an accompanying video game that was like just the plot of the movie. So there is a video game where you do a boss fight on David Hasselhoff, and it's like way creepier because the graphics are like really bad, and it's like they made sure that his back was hairy, so like you really saw every hair on David Hasselhoff's back, but like a terrible GameCube polygon graphics. I think that's funny. The second fact is that in the trailer for the movie, they totally spoil that. This whole bit, which I think is awful because the surprise is so funny.
It was very fun for me because like I didn't know anything about it or watch the trailer. So.
But in the trailer, there is one shot I guess did not go used of David Hasselhoff jumping out of the water like a dolphin. Like it's a perfect dolphin jump, but it's David Hasselhoff. I don't know how that fits in the movie, but that's freaking hilarious to me.
I thought that was in the movie.
When did he do that?
And he makes a dolphin noise, right?
I don't remember that in the movie.
No, I don't. Now I'm doubting myself.
You could be right. I have a terrible memory.
Sure. Anyway, great facts, Michael.
Thank you. Even though one of them's really wrong.
No, that was everything I was really going to tell about it, except for I will just add that the David Hasselhoff figure cost $100,000 to make. It weighed 750 pounds. And apparently after they were finished filming, David Hasselhoff was on set and he was like, so what are you guys going to do with this? And the crew members were like, and he's like, can I take it? And they were like, okay. So
that's a very expensive prop to take.
So he took it home. It lived in David Hasselhoff's home until 2014 when he put it up for auction. And then, like, pulled it, like, right before the auction was supposed to happen. Like, I don't really know. I was unclear because I got different stories of what happened with it. Yeah.
I'm so sorry. I have to explain to the viewers at home what I thought was a very funny visual gag that happened on our chat where you said this David Hasselhoff thing weighed 750 pounds. And then John walked in the room with the largest cat I've ever seen. Which is a very funny juxtaposition. Go on, Sam.
So anyways, the movie would premiere on November 14, 2004, and it would have the yellow carpet premiere. So they rolled out the yellow carpet for it. It would
That's awesome.
Yeah, it would gross $140 million worldwide, coming in sixth of the highest grossing animated films of that year. Basically, it came out and it was a big hit. It was competing against The Incredibles and Polar Express. So that was a little
tough ground.
Yeah. But even so, like, its popularity was huge. So
was this, I would actually imagine this is more popular than the Polar Express. I would not picture that to be a huge movie.
It was like, it was just like a Christmas release and a good family friendly movie. So it made a lot of money at the time, even if it doesn't have the lasting power of SpongeBob.
It was creepy.
It's very creepy.
Oh, it's terrifying.
Most of us has probably seen it because it was just
why
it was a Christmas movie to go see at Christmas time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks being creepy.
So, after the movie came out, so like I said, they had just done the third season, and it was kind of assumed that this movie was going to be the series end of the show. And even Hillenburg said, well, there was concerns that when we did the movie that the show had peaked, and there were concerns among executives at Nickelodeon that they shouldn't continue it. So they made the movie, and then the movie was this huge hit. So Nickelodeon's like, yeah, we're going to keep going with the show. And they decided to do a fourth season, and Hillenburg dropped out from being the showrunner. He would continue to be a part of the show as it would continue on, but he was no longer going to be the showrunner.
And then he died like right after that.
He died in 2018, I think.
Yeah, he died recently, Michael.
Oh, he just left the show.
He left the show, but he did. He was kind of like around a bit, but he started being more into the show right before his death. He became a bigger part, but yeah, they would run like episodes by him and whatnot. So this is the final Nickelodeon animated film to be released on VHS, and there were two sequels to this film, the SpongeBob movie Sponge Out of Water in 2015 and the SpongeBob movie Sponge on the Run from 2020. And because obviously we are talking about SpongeBob today, I have a sea sponge fact for you.
Here we go.
Oh, fun.
And a starfish fact for you.
I'm so excited.
So, the smallest sea sponge has a length of 3 centimeters. How long is the longest sea sponge?
30 centimeters.
3 meters.
11 feet, 5 inches, which is 3.5 meters.
Ha!
Yeah, it was found in Hawaii. Also, fun fact, the Mediterranean communities actually have been using, because sea sponges just filter in and out water, so they're, and they also have some toxins to keep from being eaten by other things. So with those chemicals, like the way that they filter, but also the toxins they have, they've been using sea sponge to help treat diseases such as heart disease, arthritis, and AIDS.
Cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think there's a SpongeBob episode about that, about how SpongeBob...
About how he cures AIDS?
No, about how he just absorbs things to eat instead of eating traditionally. That was when he was trying to show Sandy how sea creatures are better than land creatures.
Oh, yeah.
That's
that was his sound that he made.
And then my other fact for you, which is about starfish. We picture starfish having the 5 arms, but starfish can have up to how many arms, do you think?
I feel like Staryu from Pokemon had like 20 arms.
12.
20.
40.
Oh,
it's called
that's a double Staryu.
It's called a sun star, and it can have up to 40 arms.
Michael, you are so cool.
I mean, I know a lot of things.
And that was
Bam. Time for Sam.
That was great.
It's a really good segment.
So things.
It's good.
All right. Now let's go to our next lesser segment.
I hate this segment.
Yeah. But we're going to do it anyway. Critics Corner. I will start the review from Will Lawrence of Empire Magazine. A film for kids, students, stoners, anyone who enjoys a break from reality.
Yeah. How do you feel about that review?
Whatever. Sure. Pretty generic. This had like a 60% rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but a 78% with audiences.
I think our brother John, who did see this movie with us, did also say he wanted to be stoned while watching this film.
There you go.
There you go. Here's a review by Edward. He is an Amazon reviewer. Let me get this straight. SpongeBob cannot get a driver's license, but he can drive the Krabby Patty mobile in this movie.
And you're like, Edward, they explain it in the movie.
Yeah, jeez. Don't need a license to drive a sandwich.
This is from Todd McCarthy of Variety. The SpongeBob SquarePants movie takes on rather too much water during its extended feature length submersion.
What does that even mean?
He's just trying to be clever.
And is he? It. No. What was it? Todd McCarthy? You suck. Here's our next review by Patricia. This is a long one. Note for parents. What was Nickelodeon thinking? SpongeBob and Patrick stuff themselves with sundaes and then behave like drunks, down to staggering about, talking with slurred speech, and suffering from a hangover the next morning on an unshaven, blurry-eyed SpongeBob. Oh, that's very, very true. Patricia, that's a good point. The scene could have easily been played with stomach aches. Less funny.
Patricia gets comedy.
Patricia, kids don't think that's as funny. Also, the movie features Patrick in a black fishnet hose. Yeah, and stiletto heels. I kid you not.
She's not wrong.
Patricia, yeah, you got us. You're right.
All right. This one is from friend of the show, Peter Bradshaw, a little writer for The Guardian.
Bring me Peter
Bradshaw. Almost every line is a zinger, which can be appreciated in a state of total sobriety. It's a non-stoner stoner film.
Oh.
And very funny.
I love that review. That warms my heart, Peter Bradshaw. I love Peter. I don't know why we started the Peter Bradshaw bit. Like, I think I just recognized the name each time. Like, I didn't think of anything of his reviews. But now that we know that he's Peter Bradshaw, I feel like I love him. Anyway. Oh, boy. Read the first three words. I can't agree more. Where is Gary? I want Gary. Gary the snail is the best character in the cartoon. He meows and growls at the same time. He could say no. He plays the violin, wears a two-toned pair of Italian Borges. What's that?
Brogues.
What's that?
I don't know. It's fancy shoes.
Brogues. And reads the paper. He is a towering intellect and is granted zero role in this so-called movie. The omission has angered Gary fanatics all over the world. Any SBSP movie without Gary is sacrilege. Where is Gary? And that's by it's clearly a joke review, but I very much appreciate it.
You know what a cool thing about me you should know?
What's that?
Is that when I was a teenager, I owned a shirt from Hot Topic.
Go on.
It was a black fitted shirt with Gary on it.
What did it say?
Meow. It's a real fact.
Remember a SpongeBob shirt. I don't know if you owned it. I don't know if I owned it. I don't know who owned it. Maybe no one owned it. Is this a real shirt? It's SpongeBob. And he's just got this serious look on his face. And he's pointing and he says, "Does it look like I'm kidding?" That's the whole shirt.
Good shirt.
I want that shirt.
It sounds like a Hot Topic special.
It's a great store. They're a sponsor.
I think we could do a bit of a classic FOF for this one, and we can kind of move through the plot a bit because
FOF,
Flares on Films. That's the podcast.
That's what this is.
That's what the fans call it. You really got to get on our Facebook group.
Dude, are you FOFing right now? That's what they say on their list. They're all high.
It's weird. It's weird how intense they are.
Yeah, they're anyway. Surfing.
Yeah. What's weird about the movie?
What's weird? Wait. What's weird about this? What is this weird?
So
what's weird about it?
It starts with this like kind of intense live action pirate sequence.
Yeah.
And then people singing the SpongeBob SquarePants movie, which is fun. Oh, no. So they start with the sequence that they find the treasure. But Michael, what's the treasure?
Tickets to the SpongeBob SquarePants movie.
I
love this movie because like it's funny. But when it's not funny, I feel like, I mean, sometimes there are just like moments like, that was creepy. But there's also moments where it's like, that's just really cute. And if anybody knows the SpongeBob theme song, they might know it as being very like aggressive. Like it's just a guy screaming. It's the one from the show. You know, it's just like a guy screaming at you. So they play the theme song in this movie, but it is a group of pirates singing it. But it is like the cutest.
Like a sea shanty.
But it's like a men's choir, like really light and dainty.
Who lives in a pineapple under the sea? SpongeBob SquarePants. Absorbent and yellow and porous as sea. SpongeBob SquarePants.
And they have like signs and they're turning that like spells SpongeBob. And they're like
it's
doing
very
little,
cute.
It's like the cutest thing imaginable.
Well, it's funny because it was clearly like the set design of the pirates was like very good.
Yeah.
I thought like you're like, this could be a real pirate movie. No.
It could be so a real ride at Universal Studios is what
I thought. Yeah, that's what I meant, actually. But you know, people invest a lot in that.
But those are expensive.
Right. So then Okay, sorry. I'm just looking at the Wikipedia summary and goes, in the movie proper, because after the pirates start watching it, then the movie really starts.
But I remember watching this with you, and you're like, so why did they introduce those pirate characters? How are they relevant?
Well.
They came back.
One time.
I'm going to fucking leave this podcast.
All right. So the movie proper is starting.
Yeah.
SpongeBob prepares for the Krusty Krab 2 opening. Can you describe the opening, Michael?
The dream sequence?
Oh, yeah. But you don't know it's a dream sequence, guys.
So, well, first, when the movie opens proper, you know, we start like a classic SpongeBob episode where we just see the little island above the water and you got the French narration. But I can't do a French accent. Can you do it?
Here we see SpongeBob in his natural.
That's better than mine.
It's not good. Hang on. Say a sentence. Can you cut this part out?
It lies
the sponge in his natural. No, I can't get it.
Say, sorry. I want some bread and wine. And cheese.
Nope. I don't have it. Sorry.
Sing the song for Little Mermaid.
Le poisson.
You got it. You just need the anchor.
A heck too. Here we see SpongeBob lying in his natural habitat.
Now you're in France, ladies and gentlemen.
There I am.
Okay. Anyway, and so the narrator's like, the sea, so peaceful, so tranquil. And then it goes looks at the Krusty Krab, like, Krusty Krab. Or yeah, Krusty Krab. So great. And then, whoa, what is this? You zoom out and there's police cars and everyone's like, all right, everybody back up. And it's a crime scene, this tape. And they're like, we got a situation here. Is he here yet? Is the manager here? And then like this black limo shows up. And then SpongeBob, you like see his boot with like a fancy S on his boot, like go out of the car. And he's like walking. He Krabs like, talk to me, Krabs. He's like, Krabs like, we got a situation. A customer ordered a Krabby Patty with cheese, but when he took a bite, no cheese. And while SpongeBob is like, he's not smoking like the detective, but he's like blowing bubbles like he's smoking.
By the way, the Krusty Krab is a burger joint for those who haven't seen
SpongeBob. Yeah, and the show takes place underwater. So he goes into the Krusty Krab. And it's like an empty Krusty Krab, and the guy's just like, it's like all dark except for one table is lit, and the guy's just like shaking with like the burger in front of him. Oh, and SpongeBob is like, hey, it's gonna be all right. And he's like, hey, you got a name, Phil? And, you know, he's, you got a name? He's like, Phil, you got a family, Phil? And then he's just like shaking. He's like, come on, Phil, snap out of it. Let's hear about that family.
That was really good. That made me laugh.
And then he goes, Phil, I want you to do me a favor. He goes, what? Say cheese. And then he like takes out like a, he's got this briefcase and he's like a pliers with like a cheese in it. And then he's like putting the cheese on the burger, but there's like an alarm and like, dude, dude, like time is running out, like it's an emergency. And then he wakes up. That's the dream sequence.
But it's his boat alarm. Burr. Anyway.
I love
so
that. Let's hear about that family.
I think that was one of the funniest parts of the film.
I
sure.
Love that, yeah.
So SpongeBob is excited because they're going to have a new Krusty Krab location, Krusty Krab 2. And it's like, who's going to be the manager? Now, they only have two other employees other than Mr. Krabs, yeah. Squidward and SpongeBob. Now, the logistics of that, don't worry. Don't think about it. Mm-hmm. But he's like, excuse me, I've been named employee of the month. Like, 80 times in a row. And then John and I did the math and we're like, no.
Because he said like 300 or something crazy.
Yeah, he said
like, I actually have the exact amount in case you guys are wondering.
Let's hear it.
It is 374 times, which is equivalent to him working over 31 years.
Yes, I did that math in real time when we were watching. I'm like, so what age does that put him at? And,
I'm jumping the shark. We're obviously, this is like maybe an ending discussion, but like I feel like there's an interview with Steven Hillenburg talking about the show, and he's like, I did it on purpose that it's not really clear that he's a kid or an adult, because he goes to school and he has a job and he has a house, but he's very childlike, and that's on purpose. It's supposed to be ambiguous.
It's not that ambiguous to me. He's obviously an adult. He owns a home. He goes to school for his boating license and he has a job. Like, he's just a silly adult.
But he's like, he's kid-like.
Yes. Yes. I get that. It's just weird that they would put an exact number on how many months he worked at the Krusty Krab, which is over 30.
Or is it funny?
It's very funny.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he's very excited. Goes to the ceremony of the opening of Krusty Krab 2. No,
you're skipping a great line. Because there's like a whole montage of him preparing at his house, and he's like, yeah, go to work. But they go by Squidward's house, and he's just in the shower, la da 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 da. And then you hear also SpongeBob singing, and Squidward. And then you realize that SpongeBob's also in the shower. And SpongeBob, what are you doing here? And Squidward's like, I just have to tell you, I'm gonna thank you when they make me the manager. It's like, why did you wait till work? It's like, there's no shower at work.
SpongeBob said that, yes. That was oh boy. Also then on his way, he steps on our antagonist Plankton.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, and that's also a fun line. I believe that's in the trailer, where he's like, I'm gonna take over the world. And SpongeBob's like,
good luck with that.
Yeah, very cute. So they go to the big ceremony and they're like, you won't believe who we're going to make manager. He's great. He's tenacious. His name starts with S.
It's just like weird... so obvious.
Right. And then it's given to Squidward, because Krabs says, obviously, SpongeBob, you're a better worker, but Squidward's just more mature and you're just a kid, which is a very important theme.
It's kind of funny, though, the way they play it out, where they, after Mr. Krab draws it out for like an hour, he's like, and the manager is Squidward, and then SpongeBob like just doesn't hear that. He just goes, yeah, like he just heard himself.
So anyway, we cut to Plankton and his plan, which is a really good plan to take over the world. And he starts by stealing King Neptune.
He says, I can't, there's nothing left. I've done every plan from A to Y. And Karen's like, A to Y? Yeah, all of them. A to Y. That, yeah, he does plan C.
I love that voice actor, by the
way. Of Karen or Plankton?
Plankton.
Yes.
Just great. So anyway, he starts by stealing King Neptune's crown, but we don't know what the plan is. We just know he does that. King Neptune, by the way, played by Jeffrey Tambor.
Mm-hmm.
And his daughter, played by Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, obviously. It's star-studded. It's a galaxy of stars.
Star-studded. So that night, SpongeBob and Patrick, they're going to celebrate. So they had planned to celebrate this big promotion, but guys, didn't go the way they wanted.
At the Goofy Goober.
Yep.
What is it called?
The Goofy Goober, which is sort of like imagine a peanut-themed ice cream parlor / Chuck E. Cheese.
With no rides or anything, yeah.
Well, like a Chuck E. Cheese, because they have like a band that performs. And
yeah, but there's like games at a Chuck E. Cheese. I didn't see any games.
That's true.
There were probably games off screen.
Right. He also just goes to this like seedy bar.
The ice cream bar.
You know how like in kids' movies, sometimes they'll be subtle about it. Yeah. But like at this, he's just at a bar.
He is.
But they're
just
eating ice cream.
Well, let's get to that, because it's funny just dissect every detail.
I mean, this is actually the funniest part of the movie. Where
are we there yet? Or did we?
Yeah, we're there.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Because he's so upset. So he's at the bar and Patrick's like, okay, we're here. We're at the Goofy Goober. We're going to celebrate. And SpongeBob's like, nah, I'm gonna head it. I'm not feeling it. But then he sees the big sundae that Patrick has ordered. He's like, I guess I'll stay for one. And then they like scarfed out a whole bunch of sundaes. And
like,
I don't know what's actually going on. He's like slurring his, why would a sundae make him slur his speech?
Right. Again, they're not really doing a funny hint. They are just acting drunk. There's no like.
Oh, drunk.
Yeah.
Oh.
But like, it doesn't, I don't feel like there's a lot of plausible deniability here.
I genuinely like this movie a lot. And I just feel like this was not made for kids. Like, it's not like other kids' movies, like, oh, we'll make it for kids and we'll wait to these. It's like, no, it's just what we think is fun. And it's just funny that SpongeBob gets really fucking drunk right now.
He's like,
but it's like, it's explicit in this part, and then it's somehow five times more explicit as he wakes up with a hangover.
The next scene, he's still drunk. Yeah. when so King Neptune comes to the Krusty Krab.
Can I just say, so he wakes up at Goofy Goober and the waiter's like, hey buddy, it's 8 a.m. I've been here all day, gotta go home. And SpongeBob wakes up, he's got a 5 o'clock shadow. He's got like a weird old timey like straw hat. He's like, yo, God, take your friend, go home. He's like, Patrick, oh, hey, what's up, buddy?
Like, in no way is that anything else, right? God, in what universe is that anything but being drugged?
I love it.
So then King Neptune goes to the Krusty Krab because he's like, I know, crabs, you stole my crown because I have irrefutable evidence. What is that evidence, Michael?
Oh, just like, he is as clever as you are. You left one damning piece of evidence at the scene of the crime. And he like unravels like a little piece of like, I stole the crown. Signed, Eugene Krabs.
And sent it to Shell City. That's important.
We learned that. I don't remember the exact...
Oh, we learned that in the voice message thing.
I like that sequence a lot where he's like, I swear, I did do it. I did not do it. And then the phone that's for some reason right next to him like goes to voicemail and it's a voice message like, hey, now this is the guy you sold the crowd to, Mr. Krabs, in Shell City. I sold the crowd in Shell City. And he's like sweating, like he's like trying to like, how do I get this to stop? And then he like tears the phone off of the wall. And then as the phone is entirely disconnected, he goes, and the crown is now in Shell City. Goodbye.
So he's like, I'm going to kill you, Krabs, Neptune, because it's a children's movie.
Yeah.
And unless someone can speak for you. And SpongeBob's like, I'll speak for this guy.
Well, he stumbles and he goes, he like leans on Neptune. He's like, oh, pardon me, miss. And he goes, all right.
Let me tell you about this guy. So he just rails on Krabs. He's terrible. So somehow, then Neptune's daughter, Mindy, Scarlett Johansson, comes in. It's like, wait, instead of killing him, how about give SpongeBob and Patrick an opportunity to go get the crown from Shell City? Give them 10 days. And then they do that Cupid where Patrick's like, 9 days, 8 days. And that's very cute.
He talks him down.
So basically, he freezes Krabs and he's like, you have 5 days to go to Shell City, get the crown. Now, far be it from me to impugn this otherwise perfect and flawless plotted movie.
Yeah.
Why did Plankton make a point to tell people where the actual crown
was?
That's
a very good question. Let's go back to my favorite segment, Clean Missed Joke, where we talk about Joe Clean Missed. There's a few sequences in the castle where King Neptune's like, oh, I have the crown because I'm bald. And it's like, haha. There's like some bald jokes, but I don't know. Whatever. They didn't really work. But then like they go so extra with the bald joke where SpongeBob at the Krusty Krab, when this whole thing is being derived, SpongeBob goes, why do you need the crown? And King Neptune says like, well, I got this problem. And then he like shows his bald head and then the whole crowd gasps. And like for 10 minutes, everyone's like screaming. And then you just hear one guy in the background go, my eyes, my eyes. Because he's like so, and you like see like his smoke is coming out of the eyes because the sight is so dangerous to him. I really appreciate that.
Aww, so sad to bald men.
Yeah.
Anyway, SpongeBob and Patrick head off to Shell City in their burger car.
Mm-hmm.
And Patrick says, how can you drive this without a license?
Wait a minute. How can you drive this without a license? Because the car is a sandwich. He goes, you don't need a license to drive a sandwich, which I think is fun. So it doesn't make any sense. Just a nonsense line.
Sure. So because Krabs is frozen, Plankton is finally able to steal the Krabby Patty formula, which is very important in the show. That's like his main thing. He's trying to steal it. And so he starts selling Krabby Patties from his restaurant, the Chum Bucket. And with every purchase comes a free Chum Bucket.
What is Chum?
You know, it's just like stuff you feed, isn't it? I don't know.
Why'd you start talking?
Because I'm like, chum, sure. Like
chum! We all know. We all chum around. Chum-chumaroo?
You know, chum.
I don't. I know chap.
It's like ground bait. It's like you
are you looking at Google right now?
Fishy parts into, to feed, to lure sharks and stuff. Chum. It's a thing.
It's like www.wikipedia.org hyperlink to I can't read all of this.
or to be friendly or to form a friendship with someone.
Chummy.
Like they start chumming around in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what are we talking about? God. Okay. So that's important.
I have a discussion point. The reason I don't, this movie could have been better, is that I feel like the show, which I really like, those three seasons specifically, I feel like easily the best aspect of the show is the dynamic of SpongeBob and Squidward, because SpongeBob is very like naive and silly and goofy, and Squidward is very cynical. That's fun. And we don't really get that in this movie.
Yeah, so they don't have enough straight men in this film.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's enough episodes to capitalize on the SpongeBob Squidward dynamic, but it's too bad.
Yeah, agreed. Okay. Anyway, what happens next?
So now they're just on a road trip to get the crown. So like their first stop is they meet some hillbillies. They need to fuel up their gas.
Yep.
And the hillbillies are laughing at them. And Patrick goes, SpongeBob, are they laughing at us? SpongeBob goes, no, Patrick, they're laughing next to us.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Also, it's important that Karen is Plankton's computer wife. She's like, what if they actually get the crown? He goes, don't worry, I have somebody after them. Mm-hmm. And that's Alec Baldwin, I believe. And he's like a scary guy who's going to get him.
Dennis.
Dennis. Yeah. Also, the buckets we mentioned before, apparently they're going to mind control everybody. That's how he's going to take over the world. That's important.
Yeah, makes sense. So their next stop is SpongeBob's like, oh, we gotta get to Shell City, but we don't have our car. Oh yeah, because they're like, there was a whole joke where they lost their car immediately. But then they get to a club, like a motorcycle club, where they find their car.
Like a spittoon.
Uh-huh. I don't remember any super standout jokes in this part. So they end up getting their car. I mean, there's funny, but nothing super stands out.
Right.
Funny scene. The next stop is the really, really creepy scene where they're like, so it's getting more dangerous on the road to Shell City. So they're like basically driving through a field of skeletons, but like so much that it's just a sea. And it's like, I just love the joke where they're like, they for some reason are not really seeing this. They're just so happy that they're like got their car back. So SpongeBob's like driving. And then at one point he's like driving like on a huge pile of skull and bone. He's like, well, road's getting kind of bumpy.
Oh, Jesus.
But yeah, then they like get ice cream from a lady that turns out to be the tongue of a giant monster that chases them, destroys their car, and then the monster dies by running off a trench where the road ends. And they look at this trench full of monsters and they're like, well, there's no way we can get through this.
But then Mindy, the mermaid from earlier, Neptune's Daughter, she's a mermaid. I didn't mention that.
Scarlett Johansson, yeah.
She comes to give them their mermaid magic to make them men.
Like, because she doesn't know what to do. She's like, I don't know. I have mermaid magic. Like, she's pretending.
Right. So she gives them fake mustaches.
She just, like, finds some seaweed and puts it on their face.
And again, the way they fondle their mustaches is, like, weirdly not kid-friendly.
Whoa! I love, how excited they're.
And then,
oh my God, you have a mustache!
And then I think actually one of the best segments in this movie, one of the best scenes.
There's a lot of best segments, especially near the end.
I really like the song they sing as they go into the trench. Well, first they jump into the trench and they're like, oh, why didn't we use the stairs?
And then SpongeBob's like, I don't know.
But they're fine. And so they go through this trench of creepy monsters singing.
Now that we're men, this is a real marching band song, I think, that they just put words on.
It's very like John Philip Sousa.
It's like a real song. Yeah.
Oh, it's a real song?
Yeah. That's what I was saying. I think it's a real song that exists outside this
movie. Invincible.
That's why the words don't rhyme. We can't do anything now that we're men. And the song's great because like they're like very confidently just like marching at this joyful tune at this dark, very monstrous trench where everything's like gloomy and horrible, but they're singing and it's funny. But then at one point a big huge monster comes up with the hand, like comes to eat them in the middle of this jaunty song, and then they do what I would describe as tap dancing, like, but it's like not.
It's knee slapping.
Is that a thing people
yeah,
do?
Yeah, it's like fancy clapping. And you're like, all right, it's animation. I bet it's real goofy. Like, no, it's like, imagine a real person just doing clapping and knee slapping. That's what it is for like 5 minutes.
What I love is that I have no idea why.
No, it's so funny. So the monster's like staring at them doing this knee slapping. And then he just gestures over like, check this out. His other monsters.
But I also love the way the SpongeBob and Patrick talked to them. They're like, yeah, go Pat, go. Oh yeah, you got this.
And then at the end of that, there's the, and the, all the monsters said, now that they're men.
Yeah, they know. Yeah, when Patrick and
their friends.
And they high five and all the monsters go, hooray!
Hooray! Now that they're men.
Now you guys, this was so fun.
But hold on, but the song, I just loved at the end, okay, the clapping. They'll pass the test. Clap, clap, clap. They like all pop up the screen and smile and clap, 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 clap. Like the pirates in the beginning. It's just like turns super cute for like a minute.
Oh, but then he says, we got past the ugly, disgusting monsters. Oh.
No, you guys are awesome.
So, but then you guys.
Oh, it's been foreshadowed, that there's been a Cyclops that guards Shell City.
A Cyclops comes and captures them, which is actually like a weirdly old-timey diver costume guy.
Who's live action? He's a live action man.
Turns out Shell City is a gift shop, and they've captured them, and they're going to dry them out. And it's all hope is lost. Thank God the pirates are there from earlier.
Oh, hold on. One of the best jokes. They're like, what is this place? And then you see the scuba diver take out a clam and Google eyes a glue. And they're like, oh, what is he doing to that poor sea creature? And they put, like, the diver, who's still always in his diver suit, which is funny, he like pours glue on the clam. It's like all this like really horrible music because this is like a horrible thing that's happening. And then he reveals the little stand that he made. He's like, oh my God. And it says Alexander Clam Bell because he's got like a top hat and a telephone.
I would 100% buy.
Which looked awesome. Yeah. It was like just like a nightmare scenario.
So anyway, they've been dried out. They're pretty much dead, I guess. And all the pirates in the theater are very upset about this. Just like, okay, that's the one time we get to see them again.
Which is great.
But
oh yeah, they both I just think it's so adorable. They like, they're SpongeBob and Happy. They're dying. Like it's a Toy Story 3 scenario, but they're happy that they made it to Shell City. They're like, we could do it. People said we could never make it, but we made it. So a tear comes out from their eyes and it comes down and the tear connects into a heart. And all the pirates are so sad. Like they died. That's the movie. And then one of the pirates goes, wait a minute. Look, be the tear of the goobers. And then the tear, like, magically just, like, goes, like, travels all around this little stand that they're heating on and then fries the electricity.
Which sets off the sprinkler system, which is all they needed to come back to life. And also all the other sea creatures in the gift shop who then attack Cyclops. So they... Oh, by the way, the crown is there. Again, why Plankton told people that? It's unreal. Anyway, so they grab the crown, they head down to the beach, but how are they going to get to Bikini Bottom in time? It's already the fifth day. Fuck.
And well, then there's Michael. I could take you there. And the camera swerves around, and it's just David Hasselhoff doing the Baywatch run, which is great. But all of his... David Hasselhoff's lines are so funny. They're like, so, where's your boat? Dave Haskell goes, boat? Ha 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 ha. And then the next shot is just him swimming.
Yeah. But then Dennis from earlier, Alec Baldwin, we forgot. They evaded capture from him earlier, but there he is again.
Mm-hmm. At what point, Dennis, with his very spiky, hits them, but accidentally hits David Hasselhoff's back where they're riding on. And do you just see David Hasselhoff's face goes, whoa, take it easy back there, boys.
So anyway, they defeat Dennis in the end. But so they get to the island.
What happens now?
They get to the island that's above Bikini Bottom, and they're like, how are we gonna get to the bottom of the ocean fast enough, Michael?
And then
they get to the ocean fast enough in a way?
How are we gonna float down?
For children.
Who for said children. David Hasselhoff goes, who said anything about floating? And David Hasselhoff, like a rocket, stands up. His chest muscles separate.
His pecs separate.
Like, and there's like machine noises. And SpongeBob goes, what is it? And Patrick goes, the control. And then he puts SpongeBob and Patrick in the middle of his chest and then squeezes his chest really,
his
really
together.
Yeah, really, really, really hard. And then eventually shoots them out under the sea. That's the sequence in this kids' movie.
That's it. Children's movie. Anyway.
Sam's expression. Can't get enough of that.
I love in the Wikipedia page, they say, SpongeBob and Patrick return in time with Hasselhoff's help. Wikipedia did not want to describe that sequence to people.
No, I was very excited too.
So they're like, yay, you're here in time, except Plankton drops a mind control bucket on Neptune. Fuck. God of the sea is now mind controlled. What are we going to do? So here's the part of the movie where I'm like, what point are they trying to make?
Go on.
Because it's like, you know, I feel like there's this one part of the movie that feels a bit Nickelodeon hammy where like, where Mindy goes, who cares about being kids? Kids are awesome. Kids can do stuff. And then it felt like that was going to be the apex of the film. It wasn't. Here's the way they really resolve everything, really bring it around, where SpongeBob's like, who cares if I'm a kid? I'm going to use the power of rock and roll.
Because I'm a goofy goober. And he breaks out into a rock and roll music video.
It's just, I think it's Sister Sledge song or.
Yeah, it's something. A real song.
It's a real song that
they've parried. They've parried, that they've weird owled.
Rock, do, 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 do. And yeah, he's just a wizard doing rock, doing dad rock. So again, to your point that this is just things that the writers clearly found funny.
And like, but they're like, it's like a music video, and at one point, Patrick is there in like sexy woman legs and lace
with fishnets all up and down in high heels, dancing to Goofy Goober.
And SpongeBob's like, whoa.
Yeah, so
but just
that,
to spoil
guess,
a joke later
everybody.
Is after the whole song they're like, where's SpongeBob? He goes, oh, I'm up here. And he's like still in the music video, he's like hung up on string, just kind of dangling
with the wizard costume and bikini,
and Patrick's like, yeah, I'll get him, but he's still wearing the fishnets.
Well, because he could reach because of the high heels. I got it. Yeah, and that's the movie.
And that's the movie.
That's really the... Oh, and then he gets to be general manager, by the way, which was very funny because at the end, he goes, Squidward is like, you should really be manager of the Krusty Krab. And he goes, you know what, Squidward? And he's like, you've realized this isn't really what you wanted all along. It was about the journey. It was about finding out who you are and what maturity really is. And he goes, hell no! He doesn't say that, but he's like...
Yeah.
And that's the end of the movie. That's yeah. How they end.
And then they play a really good song. This song is really good. Called Ocean Man by Ween.
Oh, that is a good song.
Ocean Man. It's a weird point. This is going to sound kind of douchey, but it's a weird point that Steven Hilbert actually like really cared about the bands that were on the soundtrack. Aww. That's why there's like the Shins on the soundtrack. There's like really cool bands. And I had the soundtrack as a kid, and it was cool.
Aww.
And that Shins song is really good.
Oh, wow. Sorry. I just saw a picture on the Wikipedia of the large David Hasselhoff. It is creepy. Oh, boy.
Sure. Unlike your typical large David Hasselhoff.
Yeah, it is weird how little the side characters are in this film.
Yeah, it's too bad.
Justice for Gary. You know?
Justice for Sandy. Justice for Mrs. Puff. Justice for Krabs. Justice for Lot.
Krabs is a funny character. Well, I really like Squidward, too. Just not enough Squidward.
Yeah, justice for Squidward.
I don't really have anything else to say about the film.
Nope, we need our brother.
But really delightful, very fun, very silly,
very funny. I mean, I enjoy
the really nice companion to the Prestige.
Yes. Let's have our brother John tell us about the film. John, what did you think of the film, The SpongeBob SquarePants Movie, 2004?
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
So obviously, it's a silly movie.
Is it?
I mean. Are you being sarcastic?
Yes.
Just to be clear?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Because I think you can't use any other adjective to describe this movie. It is fundamentally silly, goofy, and kind of nonsensical. I mean, the entire plot revolves around him being a kid and not being mature. And he establishes early on that he's been at the job for 50 years. So, I mean, come on. You've already taken John Flaherty out of the movie.
Mm-hmm. That lost you. That lost you.
A lot of things about this movie were off-putting and annoying to me.
Mm-hmm.
I could do without the Goofy Goober song.
What?
And how Goofy Goober kind of was partially central to this plot.
What?
That was, no, wasn't there for it. The ice cream drunk sequence, like the movie just decides to take its goofy, silly tone and just go fucked up.
Yeah.
And just kind of do a turn.
John, I feel like you've not watched enough SpongeBob if you were like.
Okay, yeah, you know, that is important context. I have not watched any SpongeBob. So I came to this as a virgin viewer. I kind of felt like it was like Rick and Morty, but PG version.
Yeah.
And I find Rick and Morty too goddamn silly and weird. Took me about 5 years just to get through the first few episodes. And then the movie itself is a little bit weird beyond just like the SpongeBob silliness. Like, why were the celebrity voices in this movie?
Just because that's what you do.
Well, you couldn't tell that it was Alec Baldwin or Scarlett Johansson.
That's fine.
That seems silly. And Scarlett Johansson's character, like, why did SpongeBob and Patrick have to do their adventure when the mermaid could just clearly do it herself?
You're right. The plot is weird.
Okay. You know what? Fair to that. And to be clear, I liked some of the silly bits. I liked the pirates. I thought that was well done. David Hasselhoff is in it.
And apparently that's how, like, they started writing the movie. They're like, SpongeBob movie. Well, David Hasselhoff. That's the first page.
Yeah, I mean, like, David Hasselhoff by himself is worth 2-letter grades. if we did Dodgeball, I would have to give that movie 2 extra letter grades just because of David Hasselhoff.
When is he in Dodgeball?
Yeah, he's in Dodgeball.
Yeah, he's the German national dodgeball coach.
That's right.
After they beat the German team, they go back to the locker room and he's screaming in German at the players.
That's right.
I feel like Dodgeball would be a funny movie to watch because it's like some of it's not aged well.
No, it is not aged well.
Especially the Lance Armstrong part.
Yeah.
That's funny at the time.
Yeah. There's a lot of misogyny that does not play well today.
Oh, probably not.
Yeah, it's not aged well. So yeah, this movie wasn't for me. I'm not a SpongeBob fan. I don't really like nonsensical silliness, though I did enjoy some of it.
That's very fair.
I think I'll give it a B minus.
Oh, I thought you were going to give it a C because of water. No, thank you, John, for that review. That was
wow. Great. I'm out.
You guys, you people at home cannot appreciate how hard Sam is laughing at that dumbass joke.
I should have mentioned at the top of the episode, not that I have seen this movie, but I'm like, and I'm not only a SpongeBob fan, but I was like, this is like I was raised on SpongeBob. Like, everything I find funny is because of SpongeBob. So I would like this movie no matter what, even though I don't like anything past season 3 or any of the other movies.
It's funny you say that because Peter Bradshaw says about Sponge Out of Water movie that there's no real evolutionary development or creative progress since the first movie, but it's still very funny. That's what he says. Maybe it's worth watching.
There is a Keanu Reeves cameo in the second one, and I watched that on YouTube. It's like, it's a funny bit, but it seems like a funny premise, but I didn't. The jokes were not there.
Almost every line is zinger.
So maybe I got to give it a fair shot. I have not given it a fair shot.
That's on you.
So I'm heavily. This is like I love this movie, but it's like it's gift wrap package just for me. Like my name is on the movie, basically.
I do think I could see a lot of ways this movie could have been better, and it does just seem like a long episode. You know, it doesn't really seem like a feature film.
Kind of, it almost is darker than an episode. I feel like
that's true.
Them getting explicitly drunk, I don't feel like would happen in an episode.
That's true. You got me there.
Maybe.
But I also had a really fun time watching it, so I'd give it a straight up B+. So.
Cool. I don't know if like
Is it weird that I like admire that they would be so brave as to like make something that parents obviously would not like? Like when that Amazon reviewer was like, this is not for kids. We're like, yeah.
There were a lot of reviewers like
that. And I like respect that. Nickelodeon was probably like, hey, we had some notes. Don't make this movie. And they're like, nah, let's just make it. So I really like the jokes, and I feel like the jokes were the point. So the plot doesn't really make sense. The characters or whatever, but I think the humor is very funny. There's some misses. It's not a constant laugh, but there's enough really great jokes that I went back to this movie thinking like, shit, I don't know if this movie aged well. And I still had a really great time. So I'm going to give it a solid A because I really liked it.
Let me ask you this. Do you feel like this is a better or very different product from the episodes you still really like of SpongeBob?
I don't know. It feels like a different tone to me.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. The show is different.
Okay. I like that answer.
I remember when your daughter, who has seen SpongeBob and likes SpongeBob, were like, oh shit, this is kind of a creepy part. And then the next scene was like, oh, this is even a creepier part. Just like her for her. But like, I like that in a way. That's like,
yeah.
Then this is just for me? Great. I'll eat it up.
Who are we sponsored by this week?
Hot Topic, baby! My favorite store.
Hot Topic, where you can get all your merch from your favorite television shows.
If you love like, Rick and Morty, if you're not a John.
You love Rick and Morty.
If you, you love Nightmare on Elm... not Nightmare on Elm Street. Nightmare Before Christmas.
If you love... Twilight.
Twilight. Do they have Twilight? Isn't Twilight not cool, though?
I don't know. What's that show with the boy from Gilmore Girls?
Are you thinking about
Supernatural? You want some of that?
Maybe some Vampire Diaries. They got it.
Stuff like that. Stuff like God, that you it. Can go to conventions for. They probably have T-shirts of.
God, yeah. Do they exist anymore?
They absolutely exist. They're a lot less.
Do malls exist?
Scary than they used to be.
What's the point?
I know they don't have like the gates anymore, and they don't have like.
So
the,
it's like
the
for your parents
feel.
Then.
No, it's yeah, it's like
so Zoomers don't go to Hot Topic.
No, probably not. It's probably our...
They go to Snapchat stores.
They do not go to fucking malls is where they go.
Yeah, they live at home.
Yeah.
Because they're trapped inside because of the world.
Yeah, this pandemic. Anyway, what's our next film?
Drum roll. What is it?
Sam.
I already forgot what it was. Oh, yeah, I remember now.
Oh, don't worry. I'm sorry to bother you.
She's being cute. That's really... the name of the film.
That the next movie, Sorry Bother You. That'll be awesome because that movie's awesome. And John, I think, will hate it because it is uncomfortable.
That's so fun. I love that.
It is a really uncomfortable movie, which I think is great. Stay tuned for that trailer and
cut.
Man, I'm just out here surviving. And what I'm doing right now won't even matter.
Oh, baby, it will always matter.
I thought you said
you fixed that. Get a room. I got a room, mother. Hey, Cash. How much longer I gotta wait for my money?
God made this land for all of us. Greedy people like you want to hog it to yourself and your family.
Me and my family?
Yeah.
Cassius, I'm your uncle.
I just really need a job.
40 on two.
This is telemarketing.
Stick to the script.
Hey, hello. Mr. Davison, Cassius Green here. Sorry to bother.
Let me give you a tip. You want to make some money here? Use your white voice.
My white voice?
I'm not talking about Will Smith's wife, like this young blood.
Hey, Mr. Kramer. This is Langston from Regal View.
As always, we'll be getting that out to you right away.
You're doing so good with the voice thing.
Holla, 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 holla. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. You're going upstairs, Power Caller.
They even have their own elevator.
Welcome, Power Caller. I hope you did not masturbate today. We need you sharp and ready to go.
I got promoted.
I'm a power caller.
What did I sell?
They're not selling, but we're selling.
No, there's no amount of money that'll make me do that.
Here's the starting salary.
Well, man, I'm gonna have to get me some new suits. Whatever I wear, normally I
here to be close.
It is morally emaciated.
I can't ride with you.
I'm doing something I'm really good at.
Cash, I'm going to make you a proposal. I can see that you want to say no, but I wouldn't do that before you see what I'm offering you. Cash, you are awesome.